You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores. This is Bobby Ingham, Curtis Dennis. Know that we the lawyer way back from the beginning. A trusted source for the news. 7 nights at Hallis, what it is, what it do. This is Bobby Ingham, Curtis Dennis. Know that we been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 7 nights at Hallis in your ears, you.
Awesome. The Bears.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another edition of Saturday Night in Hallis. This is episode 286, man. Can't believe we've done this many of these episodes, but we're here. It's your guy, Scott and Flows. Of course, you know where to follow us at Barbchair Scott, F Flows and Delini on all social media platforms. Follow the Barber's Chair at Barber's Chair Co. Follow 79th and Hallis at 79th and Hallis. Today was originally going to be I forgot to pump the Patreon. Yeah, subscribe to the Patreon, people. Please subscribe to the Patreon. Patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network, man. If you want this episode early, that's what you need to do. This will be going up to the Patreon subscribers first. The link is in the description box. So if you're too lazy to click that link, you can scan your QR code right here on the screen right now. It will take you to all of the four different tiers. We've got 79th and Hallis tier where you get this and a whole bunch of other stuff. There's the I'm Not Gonna Hold You tier. And there's the Barbershop Access tier where you get everything. There's also Summer Sessions tier, the world's most inconsistent podcast, which we'll actually be doing an episode of today for the first time in like a month and a half. We'll be doing a breakdown, scene by scene breakdown of the Diddy Doc. So tune in to Summer Sessions for that episode, man. And then, of course, subscribe to my YouTube channel. Trying to get the 500 subscribers before the end of football season. We are at 412 right now. That link is also in the description box. And if you don't want to click there, of course, QR code right here on the screen, man, trying to get that up. So anyway, man, we are here. It is 2 days removed from the Bears' 28-21 loss at Lambeau Field. Been some interesting discussion in Bears Twitter and my inboxes. Packer fans are eating my ass up right now. Pause on TikTok.
Hey, yo.
I said pause. On TikTok right now. You check your mentions. I haven't read none of my comments because I'm gonna get pissed and start calling Packer fans inbreds and shit like that. So I don't want to do that. So I know they're killing me right now. But anyway, it's been a lot of interesting discussion about this game. I know Joe has to do something real quick. So we're going to hold this down. But anyway, the Colts are signing Phillip Rivers to the practice squad. Okay, I guess. But yeah, man, so it's been a lot of discussion over this. There was a lot of people mad. But I do feel like at least majority of the people I ran into have been pretty calm about the loss. Now, me and Joe were at the game, and thank God I was actually in a press box, because if I was at home watching that game, I probably would have threw something after that Caleb interception. Since I'm in public, since I'm in a professional spot, I had to calm myself, and I just sat there. I sat there for about 15 minutes. To gather myself. In fact, we missed all of Ben's presser. we came in with like 30 seconds left on Ben's presser, and then Caleb came up there. But like I said on my show, yes, you tied losing to the Packers, but I feel a lot better than I thought I would. What's your thoughts 2 days later since the loss?
I felt fine when it happened. It's like, this is one of the first times, probably the first time that I actually, like, you know, the Bears are for real. And finally, after what, 15 or so, 16 years, the Bears are finally in compete with the Packers territory again. And not like we're just a sideshow that they come and smoke every year and call it a day. I mean, if you think about the history and rivalry of the Bears since Lovie Smith was fired, it hasn't been great. The Bears have been a pretty much, I'm going to say a stepping stone, a, what would the word be? Just like, here we go. We finna beat these niggas again.
They were the homecoming game. That's who the Bills were.
Yeah, I mean, for those of you who don't know a homecoming game, if you ever played football in high school and in college too, but I say more high school because sometimes in college they'll schedule some tough opponents. But when me and Scott went to Keery, Scott would tell me how they scheduled Bogan for homecoming, and then Keery would just absolutely smoke Bogan by like 5 touchdowns. I mean, they would beat y'all niggas up. They never beat us up, but that's a different story. But Bogan would smoke niggas by like 5 touchdowns. Because you want to schedule somebody that, you know, you got a good chance of beating. You know, obviously nothing's guaranteed in any sport, but if we're doing Keery versus Steinmetz, that's damn near the same as Keery versus Mater D in fucking California. We're going to get the dub. And that's what the Bears were. I mean, think about it. Brett Favre got like knocked out the game. Wasn't it something special happening at Lambeau? I'm not mistaken.
No, we knocked him out. He was on the Vikings.
It was not Vikings. Who am I thinking of that?
You thinking like about thing? You thinking about when he retired and they were retiring his jersey and it was Thanksgiving. That was a Terry Porter interception game. Jay Cutler game won a touchdown. That was Thanksgiving. Right. 2015.
So, that just the fact that you know that is nuts. But that just goes to show how the Bears.
We beat them like 3 times over the last 20 years. I got to remember the ones we beat them.
That just goes to show how the Bears have fared against the Packers in all this time. Like, I'm literally looking at the Bears' history against the Packers. And it's, I mean, 2004 is when the Bears started teeing off. And from about 2004 to 2008, we only lost 3 times against them. And then it got bad. And then from 2009 until now, we have beat them 4 times. And so think about it. The Bears have been the little brother for quite some time. And
that's since 2009. I can name all 4 of those times. The first one was 2010, when Devin Hester returned his kick for the first time in 2 years. The second one was Thanksgiving 2015. The third one was clinching the NFC North.
2013 was the win, and that was
2013.
Right. Now there was the Thanksgiving win in 2015, but those were 2013.
So what's the 4 wins then? You said since 2009.
So since 2009, the Bears have beaten them in September 27, 2010. Yeah. Next up, we go November 4th, 2013. Next, we go November 26th, 2015. Then we go December 16th, 2018,
that's 5 times. Yeah.
That's 5 times.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, five. I knew my
medical. I mean, yeah. Since I've been alive, when we talk about the first 3 years of the 90s, the Bears dominated. Up until 93, the Bears dominated. The Bears lost twice. And then from 94 to 98, the Bears did not win. And then from 99 up until 2005, the Bears had not went back to back, and they had just been losing. So, I mean, so when I say all that, I was ranting a bit. When I think about this in totality and I step back a bit, I felt satisfied because for the first time since the Lovie Smith era from 2004 to about 2008, I'm like, the Bears can finally compete with the Packers again. And it's akin to probably how Michigan felt against Ohio State the year before, because they didn't play COVID, but they played 2021. They played 2019. And it's like that last year, like, all right, we're getting there. And I want to say either they hired Jim Harbaugh then. They hired Jim Harbaugh then. They started to have some things turn around their favor. And so, yeah, he was the Michigan coach in 2015. So from 2015 to 2019, Urban Meyer was smoking Jim Harbaugh. But then that last year, when Urban Meyer leaves and everything starts happening, so I said, okay, Michigan can compete with Ohio State. It ain't sweet no more. And then what happened? Michigan smoked us for 4 years. And, of course, now we return to normalcy where we smoke them again. But, like, that's how I feel. And so coming after this game, I didn't feel bad. I was like, when that pick happened, I was like, ugh. I dropped my head. I was like, literally, if he just puts it a foot higher.
A tad more air on that joint. But also, I think it was Tom Thayer said this. Tom Thayer and Kurt Warner said this. Like, yeah, Caleb should put a little more air on the throw, but they both said it. Cole got to go up and get that. Like,
Cole misunderstood.
Kurt Warner said he's 6'5". He has to go up and get it.
I think Cole Kmet misunderstood. I think Cole Kmet thought it was going in the back of the back of the end zone. Like, I have to come and make it over the shoulder.
The flow.
And from that angle, that's very difficult to do. Meaning, like, if you're going here, like, if you're running out to your left. So, remember, it's much easier for a quarterback who throws with their right hand to throw running out to the right side. It's way easier. If you're a left-handed quarterback, it's great to go to your left. But throwing from your left over literally the opposite angle, you have to literally turn your body and contort. It's difficult to get an angle placement in the corner back of the end zone. It's very difficult. What you can do better is a jump ball. And so Cole Kmet took one step upfield when Caleb wanted him to just literally go right there, box out, and jump ball it. Now, I'm guessing someone like Colston Loveland probably would have boxed out and saw it coming, because it just seems like Cole Kmet has does not have the same chemistry that Colston Loveland has with him. And that's just, it happens. Now, that being said, the more I see Colston Loveland, I still think had a very good game. I mean, he made some very good catches. And Cole Kmet is a sure receiver. He's just not going to get you any yak. Whereas Colston Loveland is just as sure as a receiver, but he's going to get yak. He has more speed. So I say all that to say I'm fine. I'm very fine. I think the Bears have shown who they are. You know, now after the game, like, we go beat their ass. So let's hold off. I don't know about all that. Do I think the Bears will win?
I'm standing 10 toes down. If I'm wrong, Fuck it.
Do I think the Bears are going to win? Absolutely. But it's like I said on Twitter. I said the Bears are Indiana last year. In the NCAA in football. Last year they were stomping niggas. Then they met Ohio State, got smoked. What happened? They had to get themselves a few more pieces. One of those pieces was Fernando Mendoza, and he's probably going to win the Heisman, and they're the number one seed in the college football playoff, and they were just missing that. And so right now the Bears are in that same position. They're missing some defensive linemen to go around with them, and they're missing just some consistency in their passing game. Once they do that, I believe they'll end up being the best team in the division. So I feel good.
So here's a question. There's a couple things I want to talk about specifically about the game. One, see, me and Mikey had a nice discussion about this. I still don't like the final play. And this is, hear me out on this. I'm not saying it's a dumb play. I'm not saying it's, he's fucked the game by calling that. No, I'm not saying that. I prefer to run for it on 4th-and-1, get the first down, and now you got, I think it was like, 30 or 40 seconds left on the clock with 3 timeouts. You have 4 shots at the end zone. Now, granted, I do know if Cole Kmet catches that football, obviously we're having a different feel about it. But for me in this situation, it's process over outcome. You know what I'm saying? I personally would have ran for it. I know some people would talk about, I didn't like the pace of the drive. Even Michael Parsons said he didn't understand why they were moving that quick. I have a problem with the pace of the drive. I thought the pace of the drive was fine. Ben Johnson was calling that drive like, I'm going for 2 points and we're going to try to win this fucking football game, which I would have been perfectly fine with as well. I told you, go for 2. I didn't have enough faith in that defense to go into overtime with Jordan Love because he was tearing their ass up with the bigger plays. And that's when we really missed Kyler Gordon, and we'll get to him in a minute. But I personally just didn't like the play. That's whether he would have made it or not. I didn't like it. I know it was different from last week against Philadelphia. It was the same play. Slightly was, but that was a different situation. The Bears still had, like a 3-4 point lead at the time? So it was different. In this situation, I would have ran for it and then threw it. But I think, you know, you look at it, and remember at first we was like, my first reaction after the play was over, he should have ran for first down or DJ was open. After re-looking at it, there was no way he was running to get that first down. It was two niggas in front of him, and there was a dude behind him. And also what Ben Johnson said, DJ wasn't open until the ball already left Caleb's hand. So that was something as well, too. So it kind of felt like Cole Kmet was the only one there. And Matt LaFleur said something as well where he said, we were preparing for run on that play. So that play confused us a little bit. What was your thoughts on the actual play? And after, I got a question about DJ Moore and Cole Kmet for you.
Run it. You got a timeout left. Just run the ball. Phillip Rivers assigned to the practice squad. Oh, my God. I would have just ran the ball. I could just live with that, man. It's fourth and one. Get your big guys up there. In high school, we called our big package elephant. Get the guys up there. Get the hogs up there and run it down their throats. I mean, if you got to do a tush push, you do what you got to do. But I'd rather do that. But at the same time, a good bootleg just does wonders at time. And I would love to know the thought process of who's open, because it seems like Caleb, his first read was literally stacked vertically. It's Zacchaeus, it's OZ, it's DJ, it's Cole Kmet. I thought Zacchaeus was open. I thought OZ was open. It would have been a tight pass that the DB would have had a chance to bat it. But I thought...
But the DB had a chance to pick that touchdown after he threw the OZ as well.
Right.
Do you think that was a good throw or a bad read? I saw on Bragg, shout out homie Bragg, saying it was a dot, but I know Corey Wooten was like, that's a bad read. He said it would just happen to pan out for us.
So it wasn't OZ, it was DeAndre Swift, DJ Moore, and then it was Cole Kmet. And the way Caleb was running, he would not have made that first down. He would not have made that all. He had two linebackers, three DBs in that entire area. The moment he puts that foot to the pedal, they would have made it a very tough thing. DeAndre Swift is open. I don't know if I trust a running back to make that play. And if he does not hesitate for so long, literally puts it a touch higher, it makes it a very catchable pass.
Concepcion, please go to the office.
We know your work.
I'm not mad at the play at all.
Huh? I said we know your work. We get in the back.
Sorry, more. But I think if he touches it a touch pad higher, it's not bad. But I'm not mad at the play. It's cool. I just would have done running immediately rather than a bootleg. But, it caught them off guard because they're like, we were expecting a run, and the bootleg came. Yeah. It's just the DB got there quicker. But if Caleb sees, and that's one of the things as a quarterback, it's like you need to develop that sense of, yes, these are my read, but I see a man open and immediately get it to Cole Kmet because that's a touchdown.
Yeah, I agree with that. So here's my question for you. You were talking about you feel that Caleb has more chemistry with Colston Loveland, and you got DJ Moore here in a game where Roma Dunze does not play. He had three targets, only one catch with -4 yards receiving. Do you feel that Cole Kmet and DJ Moore getting phased out of this offense? Because I did feel it was interesting when Ben Johnson said, well, we were looking for him. We were trying to give him the ball. I really don't know what happened. Like, week by week, it feels like there's less DJ, more Luther. You know, less Cole, more Colston, which is perfectly fine with me. Those are your two number one draft picks this year. And both each week are looking more and more confident, more and more like pros. Colston Loveland was getting smoked by Tyler Warner earlier. That gap is closed. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Tyler Warner still has the better stats, but Colston Loveland was having a pretty solid rookie season. Luther Burden is becoming a guy you can trust on big third downs and making these big plays, you know. And I really feel like, as much as we've been getting on Rome about the drops, we missed Rome a lot on Sunday. He's Caleb's safety blanket, or as Ben said yesterday, he's his blankie, which I've never heard a coach say that about a player, say somebody's their blankie, which was fucking hilarious. But do you think this is something where we could see, well, Cole Kmet, I'm damn near convinced he's going to be gone. But do you think that this is something we can see where DJ Moore might be traded this offseason?
I've mentioned that to Scott a few times about, like, man, it might be time to trade DJ. And not because he's not a good enough player. He's a very good player. He's a bona fide number one. But it doesn't seem like him and Caleb have that relationship. Now, DJ Moore and Justin going to put that ball to DJ regardless. It don't matter where DJ is at, it's going to him. But Caleb likes to spread the ball around, and Caleb seems to be establishing a relationship with Rome and Luther. Maybe that's height. You know, Rome Odunze is around 6'3", and DJ Moore is probably sitting at 5'11", 6 feet. And so it could be that. It could be a speed issue. I'm not 100% sure.
Is Luther taller than DJ?
Luther's taller than DJ. Okay, Luther's taller than DJ. Luther Burden is, I want to say, 6'1", 6'2". Not 100% sure. It's definitely a difference between the two. Like, both are listed as 6 feet, but having stood next to both, I think Luther Burden is probably 6'1". Obviously, that's not a definitive thing, but I say all that to say is that he has a rapport with Rome and Luther that he does not have with DJ. And it sucks, but what can you do? I mean, that's just what happens with quarterbacks. They brought in a number one wide receiver for Justin, rightfully, and DJ Moore got those stats with Justin Fields, and he did great. I mean, that season he had his highest yards total. He had never eclipsed 1,200 yards before before that Carolina. Year. Right, before in Carolina, he had never gotten that. And not even the reception total. As a matter of fact, he has his two Bear years, he's had the most, well, it's three now, but his two Bears before that, he's had the most receptions in his career and the most touchdowns in his career and his one of his best averages. And so it sucks, but that is the reality is that Caleb does not have that same relationship with him. And sometimes it's a problem of you got too many people. You have too many stars. You have too many skilled players.
Too many chefs in the kitchen.
Of high value. And I think the best thing to do now is to allow DJ to go to a team that could use him, allow DJ to go to a contender. Like, I can't think of a team currently off the top of my, for some reason, the Patriots are sticking out in my mind about, you know, who they can get. They got Stephon Diggs, but I mean, Diggs and DJ.
Diggs is on a 1-year deal. He's probably not going to be there next year.
Right, and after that, I mean, there's Hunter Henry and Kayshon Butt Boot, whatever his name. I think he went to LSU. It's like, so maybe they could use him. I don't know what they could give the Bears.
And that's the thing with me with DJ is I think what's been kind of frustrating, like, as a fan, and this is obviously no slight to Ben because Ben knows what he's doing, and I do believe Ben's trying to get DJ involved. I mean, he even said it in this game, you know, he was looking for him. But I do think it's a you know, we say in the NFL, not my guy theory is a real thing. You know, DJ got traded before Ben Johnson got here, before Caleb Williams got here. DJ got paid before Caleb even, had his first snap, before anything. So it kind of feels like, you know, these are Ben's guys right now. Even Rome was drafted before Ben got here, but you know what I mean. Like, they're coming together. And I also feel like with this season, I know you got to go in like 5 minutes, but with this season, and Bang said this on an early episode, I'm not going to hold you, is why I say this is a house money season. Because there's a lot of people, I think Ben is finding out who's going to be here long term, who's not going to be here long term. And we're winning in spite of it, I guess. There's going to be a lot of people on this team who are not here next year. You know what I'm saying? And Ben's going to know, okay, I've been in the trenches with this guy. I don't want him here. This is not a Ben Johnson or this new era Bears type of player. And it's kind of fucked up that DJ might not be one. And that's not to say that DJ is not a great player, that DJ hasn't been a good teammate. DJ is loved by his teammates. Him and Caleb have a really great relationship. I even think Ben loves DJ. But I kind of feel like unless something drastic happens, then him and Cole Kmet are going to be up out of here next year. Now, I don't think you're going to get that much from Cole, but I do believe you could probably at least nab a second rounder for DJ Moore.
I'll probably say not.
He's not 30 yet. Third, yeah, he's a wide receiver. He's not 30 yet. So it's just unfortunate, man. But final thing I want to get your opinion on before you leave. you know, we talk about everything is fine and how things are moving with the Bears. I even think the national reception to the Bears losing had been way better than I thought it would be. Colin Cowherd, who literally changes his mind on Caleb Williams every fucking week. One week he's a bum, next week he's da da da. He's like, this game isn't about the Packers, it's about the Bears. This team is real, they stuck around, da da da. Said the same thing on NFL Live, Ryan Clark, Mina Kimes. Everybody's like, okay, yeah, we know the Bears lost. This team is going to be a ramp. I saw a Packer beat reporter say, oh, yeah, there's five thoughts I got. He said, one, Jordan Love is the better quarterback right now, which this is sixth season. Third year as a starter, that's going to happen. He said, yeah, the Packers have the upper hand now. He said, Caleb is for real, and you're an idiot if you think the Bears are going somewhere. These are from Packer reporter. Josh Jacobs himself said after the game, oh, yeah, this is a different team than who we face. They believe in their coach. They believe what they're doing. They ran this real hard. And Michael Parsons said he got tired of chasing Caleb Brown. He's like, he's real good. So even – I remember when Packers used to be like, same old Bears.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Same sorry ass bear. Well, there was a disrespect level. Charles Woodson would say, oh, don't worry about it. Jay going to throw you the game. And that's starting to change a little bit here, where even the team itself, and I think this is going to be an actual rivalry going forward. If the playoffs, and in fact, Mikey gave me this stat the other day, not even a stat, but if the Packers lose on Sunday, there's a 90% chance the wildcard round is going to be Bears-Packers no matter who wins the division. It's just a matter of where the game's going to be at, and the NFL can't wait for that. What do you think about this rivalry and how this could be for the NFL, and then you can get about it?
I think the NFL does good when the Bears are good. I just think that's – I mean, shoot, I think someone like the Raiders, if the Raiders was good, it would be a benefit for the NFL. And there are just certain teams, those foundational teams. You know, people hate the Cowboys. I think it's cool when the Cowboys are doing good. I mean, I don't even say they need to be a Super Bowl, but like a contender when they're just a good
regular. The Cowboys have to always be relevant, man.
Right, you know
they're
what I mean?
They're the biggest team on the planet.
Right.
In any sport.
Right. And so for me, it's cool. It's cool to see that. And so my personal opinion is that when it comes to the Bears and the Packers, we're entering in a new era of – I'm not going to be so bold to say, man, shit's over with, bro. You know what I mean? It's – only thing we're dealing with is the fact that the Bears are going to take over. I'm not saying that because – though Jordan Love is a bad quarterback by any stretch of the imagination. He's a good quarterback. And
he just has a Bozo gene that will allow you to get him.
Right. It's akin to the days of the Phillip Rivers and I'm thinking of somebody else, but I mean Phillip Rivers was under a tier of the Tom Brady's and the Peyton Mannings of his day, but he was still solid. Phillip Rivers might throw that rock to you. You know what I mean?
He in that Ben Roethlisberger tier.
Right. You know, he might throw that rock to you. But he was still a good quarterback. And I think someone like Jordan Love is still their quarterback of the future. He's the franchise. And so, in my personal opinion, I think with two solid quarterbacks, with two good coaches, because I still think I've seen Packers fans talk shit about Matt LaFleur, and I'm bamboozled. I'm like, wow, he's a good play caller. He's a good coach. But I think this is just a new start in a rivalry, and it's not going to be a domination by either team. I think these teams will just trade for a long time. Like, unless something happens where Caleb takes off and becomes top five in the league, right. I think we will be back and forth for the time being. Because we know who Jordan Love is. Jordan Love is not going to reach those heights. It's just not who he is. We know Caleb's good, but we don't know who he is. Yeah. And so if we get that squared away and Caleb takes off, well, then, yeah, I think the Bears will win the majority. But if it sticks and Kayla's a good quarterback, maybe not great, I think it's going to be back and forth for quite some time. And I think it's an exciting thing because now the Bears are for real. And the thing is that Green Bay has tried for quite some time to really get the guys that they want on offense and defense. This year, it looked like, man, they had one of the best defense in the league, holding players down. They sweep the Lions. And then all of a sudden you see, ooh, the Bears are moving on them kind of effortlessly. And I think that's a testament to Ben Johnson. I still think Ben Johnson is one of the best play callers, top three in the league. And so I think this is a chance to get excited. No, you might, you know, I know a lot of fans want get back in a crazy way. You know, it's like in the 90s with Ohio State and Michigan, I'm pretty sure Michigan was dominating us for most of the decade. And then when Jim Tressel, I can't remember when Jim Tressel specifically took over. Was it 99? But regardless, when Jim Tressel takes over, the Ohio State wins in 2001. I mean, we beat them niggas ridiculously. I mean, I don't remember, as far as I remember, like I'm looking at the 90s. In the 90s, the Ohio State Buckeyes won twice. Michigan dominated Ohio State. Dominated. And then after 2001, when Ohio State won that national championship, from 2001 to 2020, Michigan beat us exactly twice. Exactly twice. We dominated them for damn near two decades. I don't think that's going to happen with the Bears. We're like, we come from two decades of Packer dominance to now two decades of Bear dominance. The Packers are a well-run organization, so I can't see that happening anytime. Unless they sell to a private equity firm who just guts everybody, I don't see that happening. Yeah. So I think this is just a good time for the Bears to finally ascend the throes of not even mediocrity, but like assness, and finally become a good team. And so, man, I'm happy, bro. Sports is one of the stupidest things you can get involved with because it breaks your heart, gives you anxiety. I'm sure it takes years off your life. But at the same time, life is meant to be experienced with all that emotion. It just makes it worth it.
That's why sports is great.
Right, and you can't explain it logically. It just is. And so I'm excited, man.
Definitely, man. So we're going to get you out of here. You know, you got grown folks out to take care of. So, of course, follow him, F. Flows and Delaney. Of course, he will be back with me as well for next week. We break down Cleveland. So I'm still here with you guys. I've got a couple more topics to go over here today. I want to give y'all a full pod since we weren't able to do that last week because my fucking internet. I got to say, Xfinity, get your shit together, yo. Get it together. Like the internet problems I have dealt with over the last 7 days has been ridiculous. And the worst part about Xfinity is you can't even threaten them with going to another provider because AT&T sucks. And yeah, they don't even let you talk to a human being, man. But anyway, it's been better the last couple of days. It was out for like an hour and a half this morning, but we all here to go. So we're going to give you a little longer, man. I want to talk about just a couple more things what me and my brother was talking about just a second ago with the rivalry. I agree 100% what he said. This is not something, unless Caleb, you know, his accuracy cleans up and he starts hitting his layups, which is still a possibility. Unless that happens and he becomes top two, top three, top five quarterback in the NFL, I see this being a back and forth battle, which I think is great for the NFL. I think it's great for Bears fans. I think it's great for Packer fans. And one thing that I can say about this rivalry, and I say this to somebody who's been to two of these games. I've been to, I think, like maybe five Packer games now. Most of them at Soldier Field. The last I've done two in Lambeau. Even though we are bitter rivals, we fucking hate each other. There's a mutual respect. Like, if you see how Bears fans and Packers fans interact with each other before the games and after the games, sometimes you got your fights for real. But for the most part, I think it's a mutual respect as we are the two franchises that built this fucking league. There is no National Football League without the Chicago Bears and without the Green Bay Packers. And I kind of feel like the Packers look at us. I know. They look at us like the little bro, and it's time for the Bears to clean that up. It's like, nah, little bro grown up. And now we neck and neck again. And for the NFL, that is a cash cow. This has always been a rivalry between the fan bases and the players and all the history going on. But if you're a casual fan, you don't really give a fuck about Bears Packers because the Packers been kicking the Bears' ass for the last 30 years. You know what I'm saying? And even in the 80s, when the Bears had their goal narrow, they were kicking the Packers' ass. So it's never been leveled. And I think it being leveled is the best thing possible that can happen for the NFL. You already saw this Sunday's game, which was fantastic. But even though we lost, it was a great football game. And I even saw people tweeting about it saying, oh, well, last night's Monday Night Football game was nothing compared to Bears-Packers. I've never heard that being said in my entire life. And so you can see the quality of play. You got two young quarterbacks who are good and delivering and can do these things in the clutch and lead their teams. The Packers are ahead of the Bears right now as far as where their team is. This Bears team is not going to look the same next year. There's going to be more veteran players, better players here, especially on the defensive end. But that was a primetime game. Not primetime, but America's Game of the Week had Tom Brady there. And, you know, next weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend is Saturday Night Football. That's going to be a big game. And then there's a chance that these teams can meet for the third time in the playoffs. So I just say it's fun. And for Bears fans, as we get into playoff talk, I just want to say enjoy it, bro. I understand the anxiety. Nick, I'm nervous. I'm nervous. I was breaking down playoff scenarios this yesterday with the homie Mikey and things like that. But just enjoy it, bro. I'd much rather be stressed over having an opportunity to clinch a playoff spot and possibly win a division, then that shit we've been dealing with for the last three seasons of god-awful. I think the last three seasons have been the worst time I've ever had as a Bears fan. Like, when I was a kid, the Bears were never good, but they were never, like, ass-ass. They were always mediocre. The last three, 4 years have been terrible, so I take this, man. But I want to talk about injuries real quick because I'm kind of concerned a little bit about Kyler Gordon. Ain't no kind of – I'm very concerned. It's getting to the point where we cannot rely on him. We were at the game on Sunday. We were the game was seconds away from kicking off. In fact, it was a coin toss. And my man Zach Pearson, who also covers the Bears, was like, yo, Kyler's out. And I was like, what the fuck? You know, we talking to anybody in the press run and like, yeah, he injured his run and warm-ups. And it's just too stop and go. It's even to the point where Ben says he doesn't really even know Kyler like that because he hurt all the time. And obviously, you can't blame the player. You know, some players just injury prone. But it's getting to the point, if you're the Bears, where you can't rely on Kyler anymore. His presence was definitely felt. Jordan Love was really picking on his side of the field. And CJ Gardner-Johnson can hold it down for this season. But going forward, the Bears are going to have to get an actual backup who can actually play nickel and do that for an entire full season just as well as Kyler can, or almost as well as he can, because you can't rely on him no more. That was an issue. Tremaine Edmonds was an issue. Like, TJ's great, but you can really see the difference when Maine isn't out there with TJ. They picked on that. Hopefully he gets back for the end of the season. Haven't gotten any updates since when he went on IR, and they said hopefully last game or two and or if the playoffs. And then Roma Dunze, we will see today. We're recording this on Tuesday. It's 12:33 local time as I'm recording this right now. So the injury report ain't going to come out for another 2-3 hours. Hopefully he plays this week. If they sat him out again this week, I'm not mad about it because you don't need Rome to beat the Browns. But you need Rome. And, you know, I know we've been getting on Rome ass this year, rightfully so. When you're a top 10 pick, and I think he was the second wide receiver drafted, there's going to be standards. But he was missed sorely out there. And so you're definitely going to need him back as well, man. So those are a couple things I'm worried about. Jalen doesn't look 100% healthy out there, which is natural. I'm not expecting him to be 100% healthy. I don't think he's going to be 100% healthy until next season. But, you know, injuries, everybody has injuries right now, so it's not an excuse or anything like that. But, you know, the Packers had injuries. But those are just a couple things I was looking at, man. But let's talk playoffs. The Bears have four more games left in this season. Three of those four games are at home at Soldier Field, a place they've only lost one time this season. And that, of course, was the opener against the Minnesota Vikings, which they had absolutely no business losing that game either. The first game is this Sunday at home against the Cleveland Browns, who are 3-10 and are looking to be a top 2, top 3 pick in the NFL draft. Shadur had a great game, but that team is terrible. They lost to the team that's going to be picking first. Then the Packers are back here, primetime game. Then you go to San Francisco to play the Niners, who are fighting for their division and a playoff spot as well. That's Sunday Night Football. And then you got the Bears-Lions game, which That game could be for all the marbles for the final playoff spot, or it could mean nothing. The Bears could have clinched the playoff spot by then, and the Lions could be out of it. I'm going to give y'all some hate watches to watch. So basically, it's going to come down to this. The NFC East, I mean, the NFC West and the NFC North are battling for playoff spots right now. As great as the Rams have been, they are only like a game up, I think, in the actual division. In the NFC West. Let me actually look at the standings right now. In the NFC West, the Rams, in fact, no, they have the same record. They have the same record as the Seahawks. They play one more time this year. I think they play at the end of the season. No, they play in 2 weeks, yeah, on Thursday Night Football next week. Yeah, so you got to watch the Rams, you got to watch the Niners, and you got to watch the Seahawks in the West. You got to watch all three of them. Put them on your hate watch schedule. And, of course, you got to watch the Packers, and you got to watch the Lions. The Bears, all these teams have tough schedules. I think the easiest schedule, I think, is the Niners. So I'm going to go over each schedule and how I think all of this is going to play out, what the scenarios are for the Bears. Now, the Bears have a 64% chance to make the playoffs right now. They have 9 wins. I don't – 10's not going to do it. 100% 10's not going to do it. 11 might get you in with some help. To get in the clear, the Bears are going to need 12 wins, in my opinion. Now, here is the Rams schedule for the rest of the year. The Rams are home this week against the Detroit Lions. If the Lions lose this game, they're on a life support. Like, the Lions really have to go undefeated these next 4 games and hope the Bears lose a game to get in, which obviously if they go undefeated, that means they beat the Bears. So, yeah, they got to go undefeated to make the playoffs. So after the Rams had that, the Rams traveled to Seattle to take on the Seahawks, which could be an NFC West decider right there. I don't know. Then they travel to the Falcons on Monday Night Football on the 29th, first Monday after Christmas. Now, the Falcons been ass, but this is very much a trap game. And then at home against the Cardinals. Now, they just dusted the Cardinals 45-17, but I will caution you, this is a division game, last game of the season, anything can fucking happen. So let's go to the Seattle Seahawks schedule. They are 10-3 as well. They just dusted off the Atlanta Falcons 37-9. They are home against the Colts this week, which should be a winnable game for them because Daniel Jones is out for the year, and I think the Colts are cooked now. Then, of course, the Rams game I just brought up. Then they travel to Carolina to play the Panthers, who are now fighting for the NFC South. That's going to be a tough game. And then they close the year in San Francisco against the Niners. Very tough schedule for them as well. Now let's go to the Niners. The Niners are the 6th seed right now over the Bears. There's the 7th seed. The Niners by far have the easiest schedule. They play the Titans this week at home. Winnable game. Then they play the Colts on the road. Winnable game. They play the Bears. Tough game. Then they close off against Seattle. Tough game. But they've got 2 wins right there as well. But that would only get them to 11. And then, of course, we got to get to the Detroit Lions schedule. Lions got a brutal schedule. Of course, they got the Rams this week. Then they go home. But they play Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers, who are still fighting for the AFC North. Then they go on the road on Christmas to play the Vikings. Now, the Vikings have not been good this year, but the Vikings have also beat the Detroit Lions earlier this season. J.J. McCarthy came to Ford Field and had a great game against them. This one's in Minnesota. It's on Christmas. They've got nothing to play for, and they will have nothing better than to knock out the division rival. And, of course, they close the season against the Bears in Chicago. So, yeah. They got a tough schedule as well. And, of course, we all know the Bears schedule. This week against Cleveland, you should win that game. A game against the Packers, which is a big game as well. Going to San Francisco and then close out against the Lions. This is how I look at it right here. The Bears need to win the next 3 so that final game doesn't mean anything. I think if the Bears win the next 3, Detroit drops 1 or 2, Bears are going to clinch at the worst a wild card spot. But before we even get to that, you have to win this Sunday. And this Sunday is a little tricky for me, and this is why I say that. This is 1,000,000% a trap game. This is 1,000,000% a game the Bears will lose in the past. You cannot look past the Cleveland Browns. I do not care how bad they have been. They have been terrible, lost to a god-awful team in Tennessee this past Sunday, even though that a lot of it had to do with the fact that Kevin Stefanski is an idiot. But Shador's feeling himself right now. 4 touchdowns last week. Had a great game week before that. I'm looking at DA. I'm looking at this Bears defense. put this rookie through hell. Do not take your foot off him like you did J.J. McCarthy week one, because he has way more talent in his pinky than J.J. McCarthy has in his total body. And even though the Browns defense isn't good, I'm gonna say isn't good, isn't great, they have some dogs in that front line that can be dealt with. Myles Garrett is trying to break a record. He's gonna be out there. So that's something you gotta deal with as well. But the key here for me is the defense. If the defense can keep Shadur in check, his starting center, Torres Achilles, he's out for the season. That should be, I need to see big games from Tez and that defensive line. This is your opportunity. All in all, obviously you can't overlook anybody in the National Football League. You can get got any week, especially in this season. I do think the Bears win this one. I think they win it by a couple touchdowns. I think this game, I want it to look like the Cowboy game, but I do think it's going to look kind of more like the New Orleans game, but I do think they're going to get a win. Packers game, you got to learn from your mistakes last Sunday. Run the football. They had no answers for the running. The defense even admitted themselves they were getting gassed. Run the football, make your layups, and come out much stronger. And you're at home. And then you got the Niners. The Niners, if there's any team, I understand the Bears historically do not play well in San Francisco, no matter if it's Candlestick Park back in the Joe Montana 90s, Steve Young days, or even if it's Levi's. They just don't play well out there. But this is the Niner team that I believe is the most beatable. And that's the one they got to win the world. I do not want any parts of week 18 chaos. If you look at the full schedule for week 18 across the league, it has the potential to be the most chaotic week, chaotic ending to an NFL season ever. And with all the standings and both conferences, everything's going to go down to the wire. I do not want that game to be anything. Now, that doesn't mean I don't think the Bears can't win. I do think the Bears can beat the Lions, especially at home. But the Bears have potential to probably have three of the next four games on primetime. You already got two primetime games. You got the Packers game Saturday Night Football. You got the Niners game Sunday Night Football. If Bears-Lions is for a shot to make the playoffs or for the Bears to clinch the division, get ready to speak. I've been waiting all day for Sunday night. You're going to have back-to-back Sunday Night Football games there. So my ultimate prediction, I think the Bears finish with 12 to 13 wins. And I think they win the next three. I just got a feeling in my gut that they win the next three. But, yeah, it's gut check time here for the Bears, man. Gut check time for real. I'm excited to see how this is going to end. In fact, the Bears send out emails later to the ticket holders by playoff tickets. So many things can happen. But for me, I don't care what seed they are. Obviously, I would love to have a home game. Just to see another Bears playoff game at Soldier Field, something we haven't had for 7 years. And also for my travel plans, it'd be a lot easier on my bank account if this was a home game. But I just want them to clinch a spot. And yeah, it's gonna be tough. This one's not over. It's gonna go down to the final buzzer. But this team is very well coached. They got the guys, and I think they get it done, man. So that is all I got for y'all today on this edition of 79th and Hallis. We will be back next week, recapping everything as we continue to get through this playoff race, man. Follow me at Barbchair Scott. Subscribe to my YouTube. Subscribe to the Patreon. All those links are in the description box. Y'all enjoy the rest of y'all week. I will holler at y'all. I'm out.
Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis. Know that we know you way back from the beginning. Trusted source for the news. 79th and Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 79th and Hallis in your ears, you.
Awesome. The Bears.